Hello and welcome into the second edition of the 107.5 The Game podcast. I'm your host, Pearson Fowler, 12 to 1 weekdays with Brent Johnson at lunch on 107.5 The Game. And I'm happy to be joined today by a good friend of mine, longtime friend of mine, Kelly Wessinger, who's a producer for Morning Edition on NPR and is an expert on group celebrations, particularly in the NFL. In a very tumultuous time in sports right now, it's hard to get away from the politics of it all. So I thought this would be a fun way to get away from it and focus on something that's actually been a fun part of football season this year. First of all, Kelly, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing, Pearson?
I'm doing awesome. So you've recently pitched this story. You're working on this. You've been doing a lot of research. When did you decide that this was what you needed to do to be able to squeeze some enjoyment out of this year's NFL season?
Sure. Well, it was just exactly that. I was really not having any fun with the NFL in recent years because of the former celebration rules and now all this stuff with domestic abuse and what have you. So I really was looking for one bright spot, and group celebrations have certainly been it.
And you're in Washington, D.C., so all of the political things going on in the NFL are just like, you're hypersensitive to them because you're right in the middle of all of it. So that has to be brutal. I'm just sitting here watching the NFL, and I just hate watching it because we have so many bad quarterbacks, and it seems like half the NFL teams this year just don't even deserve to be playing NFL football. So I'm as happy to get away from, you know, the actual football part of it as you are.
I agree. There's a huge drop off after like the top three teams.
Yeah.
Everybody else is just a dumpster fire.
Yeah, and what even are the top three teams? Like, are we really buying the Eagles as Super Bowl contenders right now?
I can't tell. I don't know. I mean, everybody, I have not watched a single game this season where I've been like, wow, this is an excellent football team.
I know. Every game you watch, you're just like, man, who's going to win that division? Like, we thought the AFC South was going to be bad, and now whoever wins that division is going to be 8-8, and it's exactly as bad as we thought, but Tennessee's not as good as we thought, and it's all bad. Okay, so that's made me sad enough to talk about it even this much. Tell me, where did you start your research? Are we starting back in like 600 BC Greece? Because I did no research coming into this. I just wanted you to teach me because you're the expert here.
Sure. So where I started my research was in the 1980s, because that's when we started seeing the first language and NFL rules outlawing groups of players doing any sort of fun thing on the field. And that started in 1984 with the Fun Bunch of the Washington Redskins, my local team. Basically, their whole thing was they would just all get together in the end zone and count to three and jump up at the same time. That was the whole celebration.
They just jumped up in the air, and the NFL was like, that's inappropriate?
Yes, and the NFL was like, we can't have that. That's way too much fun. So they immediately shut it down.
And it was shut down until this past season? Was this the first time that we've seen the NFL give what? Because obviously it was highly publicized that you were allowed to do group celebrations, but between 1984 and this past year, were there any other like incremental improvements on the celebration rule, or has it pretty much been archaic for the last 33 years?
It's pretty much been archaic. I mean, in 2006 is when they actually tightened it even more. That's when they gave it 15 yards. It was originally 5. And that's when we see the language of like excessive celebrations, which includes props and leaving your feet or going to your knees, if you recall.
Oh, the Tebow. That's right.
Yeah. That was a huge thing. I got fined for that. The NFL was like, absolutely not.
But there was a whole bunch of guys, it felt like, in the mid and late aughts, like the Steve Smith, Chad Ocho Cinco, formerly Chad Johnson, that were just, I don't know if this was apocryphal or not, but the rumor on the street was that they had like their own group chat, or they had their own like club meetings where they would get together and discuss ridiculous celebrations, like, you know, putting a Sharpie in your sock and signing the football, or like, I think Chad Johnson, it was, that hid the cell phone in the padding of the goalpost and got it out to call someone. So did those guys just not care about the penalties, or was the NFL not enforcing it as strictly as they do now? I don't remember. I just remember them doing it. I don't remember the NFL necessarily having a problem with it as much in like 2008.
Totally. So it technically, they all got fined, all of these people. Mm. And just so you know, it was Joe Horn that made the phone call.
Okay.
But he got fined $30,000 for that. So like they were still furious. Like there were definitely penalties. There were definitely fines. But I know, I think back on that stuff too, with like fondness, I guess, maybe just in game it didn't seem like such a big deal at the time, whereas like over the past couple seasons it was like, if you did that, if you pulled that in game, you knew you were getting those 15 yards.
Yeah. Well, and people are more sensitive about everything now. I mean, all the celebrations are somehow construed as offensive to some group of people. So maybe that's it. Maybe it's just a matter of we're more sensitive as viewers and consumers of football to even things like celebrations than we were 10 years ago. Not to jump too far ahead, because we're going to get to this, but when Odell Beckham did the "I'm a dog, I'm going to walk around the back of the end zone and lift my leg up like I'm peeing," yeah, like a dog on a fire hydrant, 10 years ago, it doesn't seem like, and maybe it's just because I was 15 and not as aware of this stuff and didn't have Twitter, but people were getting upset about that. They're like, what a terrible example for our children. When, first of all, have your children never seen a dog in real life? And second of all, just get over yourself.
Well, I do agree with you a little bit. I mean, that's like very in line with Randy Moss's celebration at Lambeau, where he pretended to moon the fans after he scored a touchdown.
Classic. That's a classic.
I know.
All right. So do you have any of the inside scoop? Like who was pushing for this other than, I guess, the players? And what made the difference from last year to this year, where the NFL is like, okay, now we can actually have fun with the sport again? Did it have anything to do with the relative ratings decline that we've seen and talked about a little bit over the course of the last couple of years? Was it an effort to get younger fans more engaged than they were, or was it just something that they decided was archaic and needed to do away with?
Sure. So I don't have any inside information on that. That's something I'm not privy to, and I'm sure Goodell holds it close to the vest, but I would think that it has something to do with the fact that everybody was starting to really seriously call it the No Fun League. Goodell had taken a hit with his PR persona. I mean, he publicly was not a popular figure, is still not a popular public figure, but at least this sort of eases that pain a little bit, because we as fans get something to look forward to every Sunday and Monday and Thursday.
And so rather than cracking down on the serious issues, he decided that he would just turn to the celebrations, knowing that it would distract people like you and me that are fascinated by these things.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's obviously not doing anything to fix those other issues, but at least we're happy. At least we can smile once or twice every Sunday.
So the group celebration is interesting. You talked about sort of the NFL started giving it the attention in 1984, and then now we're sort of back to it. In between, it was a lot of individual celebrations. Did you look at other sports for just sort of like a blueprint of what the, or how the league governs that, and like where teams get inspiration? Because I've seen a couple. Soccer is a sport. I'm a big soccer fan. I know you like soccer too. That's one that that is always, pretty much always, a group celebration, because goals happen much less frequently than touchdowns or field goals or whatever. Right. So the whole team usually gets involved, and I've seen some pretty great ones. So have you seen, now that we are back into an era of group celebrations being allowed in professional football, have you seen any influence from other sports? Have you studied group celebrations in other sports or other leagues?
So I have studied group celebrations in other sports. I do watch soccer, and I've always enjoyed sort of like that camaraderie feeling that you get after they score. Everybody's just really jazzed and like wants everybody on their team to know it. And I think that's really cute. Another sport that has great team celebrations, I would argue, is the NBA. The bench celebration is one of my absolute favorite things on this earth. Every time it happens, I just smile so big, because it's adorable. And like, you know, your classic hold me back.
Oh, the hold me back.
I know. Or like everybody runs off the bench to the other side. And like, it's great. But I don't think that's really trickling into the NFL. Everybody on the sidelines is obviously always extremely excited, but like, it's more of an on-field deal.
And there's more space. In the NBA, everything's like, not to say it's claustrophobic, but because everything's right there, including the fans and the players, there's just more energy. I guess this is maybe like some pseudo physics here, but it feels like when there's energy on a football sideline, like there's so much space and there's so many people, it feels like the energy dissipates. Whereas if you've ever been in an NBA arena, when Steph Curry's getting hot or something like that, you just feel it. There is a palpable buzz in there. And I think that really translates to the celebrations, especially the bench celebrations. Like you mentioned, I love the hold me back. You know, you've always got the one guy on the edge of the end of the bench doing the towel and stuff like that. It's just, the NBA just seems like it's so far ahead in the things that matter to the good demographics, the younger generations, like, you know, more marketable stars and things like that. And the NFL is always king, but the NBA is, you know, obviously growing really quickly. And I think the hottest brand in sports right now. And a lot of it is because they don't suppress those kinds of things. I mean, we're 2 days removed from former Commissioner David Stern saying that they should remove marijuana from the banned substances list. The NBA just seems to be ahead of these sort of like social trends.
I agree. And the players are allowed to protest if they'd like. I mean, they have to, it's in their rule book that they have to stand for the anthem. But in the NBA, I mean, if you recall last season or 2 seasons ago, the Cavaliers wore the shirts that say, "I can't breathe." Mm-hmm. I mean, they have always had a history. Greg Popovich just came out and spoke against the president publicly. They've always had a history of protest, so they're kind of allowed more freedom in that sense. But it's also more marketable because they're not wearing helmets. Like, yeah. You know, there are 10 guys on the court. You know who they are because you can see their faces. So it's like more personal in that way.
And the NBA players just seem to be a little more savvy with the media and with social media than NFL players. And I can't figure out why. I mean, you think about the biggest stars in the NBA and they also have a huge presence in, you know, socio-political issues. They have huge social media followings. You know, the best players in the NFL, Tom Brady, well, I mean, his it's not like his Instagram's a hot follow. It's not like his Twitter's a hot follow. He's not doing a podcast like Richard Jefferson, and he stays pretty much mum on the politics. Why? What's the disconnect? I know we're getting a little bit off topic here since we were talking about celebrations, and we wanted to avoid talking about this at all costs, but since they are inextricably bound, what in your estimation and in your research has been the cause for this disconnect, just in terms of like the player personalities and how they are conveyed via the media to us, the consumer, the young consumer particularly?
Sure. Well, I hate to sound like a broken record, but I mean, they are wearing helmets. You can't see who they are on the field. Obviously, they all have their names on the backs of their jerseys and their numbers, but you're not really connecting with them. You don't get to see how they react afterwards, which is why the celebrations are so important, because it does give us a little bit of their personality. But other than that, we don't really have a lot to go on. There are so many players on the team that we don't get to see all of them have press conferences after a win or a loss. So there's just not the same connection, I don't think. And also you have the owners who have all come out and said, like, if you guys, like Jerry Jones, I'll fire you if you even think about kneeling, like if you protest. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I'm just saying that is stifling. And the NBA doesn't seem to have that. So there just could be more of a connection there.
So, and to bring it full circle, the celebration is that like extra important bit of self-expression for these guys that, you know, don't normally have the same ability to connect with fans as like an NBA player. They can get a little bit more of that. And one thing that I was talking about, I think with our friend Drew the other day, just part of the reason that I think the NFL feels like it's bad right now, and part of the reason I think that all the quarterbacks in the NFL are bad, is because some of the old guys are dropping off, like Joe Flacco, Ben Roethlisberger, the guys that were good 7 years ago aren't as good. And with the exception of Tom Brady, there hasn't really been a passing of the torch. Tom Brady's still great, so he's the exception to that. But with the case of those other guys, there hasn't quite been the passing of the torch like Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, Deshaun Watson, guys like this that are promising youngsters. I feel like haven't fully stepped into that spotlight. And I wonder if maybe this, you know, this new generation of fan that's going to grow up with these quarterbacks, you know, 10 years, it's going to be Wentz and Watson and Goff and, who knows, maybe Mitch Trubisky if he can complete more than 4 passes in a game. But these guys, they need to take advantage of this. They can celebrate. They need to give us more of their personalities and market themselves more like these NBA players do.
Yes, I agree. I think it would help. I think it would really, really help the NFL.
One of the things that sort of the old fogies don't like about, you know, some of these younger guys, Cam especially comes to mind. He rubs a lot of people the wrong way for a lot of different reasons. And he does do some things wrong, you know, calling out Jordan Rodrigue and just leaving his press conference sort of abruptly in the middle of the week after not showing up the week before. He does a lot of things wrong. But the one thing that I will never criticize him for, and I argue with Brent Johnson, my co-host, about this all the time, is the celebrations, whether it be the Superman or the dab or like whatever other dances he does in the end zone. Those are great for Cam as a brand, for the Panthers as a brand, for the young fans. And, you know, he got flagged for the one against the Titans the year that I guess 2 years ago, and the Panthers went 15-1. And I guess now that's not as much of an issue since they're being looser on the celebrations and things like that. But the one thing that I've always said is okay, the reason that I like that is because as soon as Cam starts dabbing, as soon as that becomes his form of self-expression and his form of marketing himself, the second he gets sacked by anyone, they're going to dab on him, and he gets it back you know, in spades. So I think, you know, not only is it good to be able to celebrate so that you can create self-expression, I think there's an opportunity here to create like a little more natural tension in the NFL, because it doesn't feel like we have a great NFL rivalry like we used to. I mean, and not even really in our lifetime. We don't have that same sort of organic tension. So I feel like that's a great way. Once we start to get more of these players' personalities and we start to see more of them clash and, you know, calling each other out, sort of like in that Samsung commercial when Von Miller and Odell Beckham are like writing things and, you know, calling each other out. We need more of that. I want more tension, more good guys and bad guys.
I agree. It makes it more fun. It's more compelling to watch. You have, when you need a villain, it's more fun to have someone who you're like, man, I can't stand that guy, but damn, he's good at football. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just is a compelling watch. And right now we're in such a weird spot with the NFL. We need something like that. I mean, people used to take, and I know it's not called the discount double check, but that's all I can associate.
Oh yeah. That's the little championship belt thing. Yeah.
People used to do that over Aaron Rodgers mm-hmm. all the time, and I always thought that was so fun when he got sacked, because I was like, yeah, someone's going to do the discount double check.
Yeah, it was great. The other one that came up recently, when Oklahoma beat Ohio State early on in the season and Baker Mayfield went and stuck the Oklahoma flag in the middle of Ohio State's field, and it was just like, so many people were like, oh, that's so disrespectful, he can't do that, he's so immature, blah, blah, blah. But I defended it, one, because he played a great game and, you know, they kicked Ohio State's butt and that was awesome and you deserve to gloat when you win, in my opinion. But it was great because it came back to haunt him. He set himself up for that. I'm fine with him doing that if he can take it, when they got upset by Iowa State a couple weeks later, and then the Iowa State people, you know, go and stick the flag in the middle of the field. So that is great. I'm glad that we're finally to the point where that kind of stuff is okay. And obviously college, you know, not quite the same in terms of like stifling that stuff as NFL, or just rather kind of a different discussion. But we need more of that. We need more people calling out Odell for acting like a dog.
T.O., he was on San Francisco and they were playing at Dallas, and he celebrated and he ran into the middle of the field and stood on the star
mm-hmm.
and sort of like opened his hands up and like praised himself.
Yeah.
Essentially.
The love me.
And Emmitt Smith like ran, he ran the ball to the same spot and slammed it down after he scored.
Yeah, we need more of that.
Absolutely not. And then T.O. went out to try and do it again, but then George Teague on the Cowboys came and just laid him out.
Mm.
That's like one of my all-time favorite exchanges ever.
And that's why the celebration's important, because that's where you start to get these rivalries. I mean, it comes from playing a lot of games. Like, you can say the Cavs and the Warriors are a rivalry because they play a lot, because they've played in the last three finals. But it's when you start to get this actual bad blood, like when Draymond Green hits LeBron James below the waist and then they're taking shots at each other in their respective post conferences. That's where these rivalries come from. Not so much the game itself, but from the game within the game, the meta game, and just these players sort of clashing heads. And a lot of that is when you're gloating over one another. When, you know, Draymond did the, you know, after the first time the Warriors won the title, the, you know, the Cavs, nope, or whatever that whole exchange was. You know, that's where all the bad blood comes from, and that's when the sport all of a sudden becomes more exciting, or at least how you start to get some excitement out of what is an otherwise unexciting bunch of games / entire NFL season so far.
Totally.
All right, so since you've spent a lot of time researching this, and you've given me a couple of them, and you've given me your favorite exchange, and we've talked about some of the famous ones, what are, you know, short list of great celebrations or great group celebrations that people need to go on YouTube right now?
Okay. Yes. So if you want to see some that have failed a little bit, the number one at the top of my list is when the Lions tried to curl.
Mm. Like Winter Olympics curl?
Like Winter Olympics curl. It just, like, nobody really knows how it works, which is fine because I don't know how to curl either, but it's like a total disaster. So I cannot recommend that video enough. I also loved the Eagles. They did the home run celebration.
Oh, that was a great one. That was really good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was Alshon Jeffrey. He's, like, playing catcher down there. He's all the way down, and it's just, like, literally just so amazing. Obviously, Duck Duck Goose by the Vikings.
Classic.
Who apparently don't call it Duck Duck Goose.
What do they call it?
Like, I don't know. Duck Duck something. Duck Duck Duck. Duck, duck, gray duck.
Not goose? Duck, duck, Viking?
No, they say people in Minnesota call it duck, duck, gray duck.
Ugh.
I know, but don't let that deter you, listeners, because it's hilarious.
Okay, so go find that one. How did you feel about hide and seek this year? That was one that I thought was completely foolproof. Oh, sorry. Sorry, I didn't mean to steal your thunder.
That has been my absolute favorite. I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was so clever.
And good-natured and good-spirited, and no one could possibly be upset about that. It was just some, like, good, kid-friendly fun.
I know. Oh, my God, it was hilarious. I was cackling, and you know my laugh. I mean, it was aggressive.
Oh, yeah. All right, well, I have one for you. You've probably seen this because at least one of these has gone viral. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend you check this out. I don't know the name right now, and even if I did know the name, I would probably butcher the pronunciation. There's an Icelandic soccer team that, Kelly, I think we were in college or maybe even in high school when their big celebration was went viral and was on SportsCenter. And it, you know, we talked about how great the soccer celebrations are because they're, you know, they're always a group celebration. But this one, and this team apparently does this regularly. I watched a compilation of all their celebrations yesterday, but the one that went famous, the guy scored the goal and then acted like he was fishing. And then, like, then one of the defenders or someone else on the team just jumped on the ground and started flopping around like a fish. And not like the thing where you're on the dance floor at prom and you, like, reel someone in and they just kind of, like, walk over there. I mean, this guy was basically on the ground doing the worm, flopping over to the other soccer player, the guy that scored the goal that was the fisherman. And then they all held him up. And then one other guy ran across from them and took a picture of the guy holding the fish. And I mean, that is just
the amount of
practice that takes and planning. And they do so many other ones. They did one where all the players formed like a toilet, and then the player that scored the goal went and like sat on it and then like flushed the dude's hand and then like, you know, bent this guy like in half like to close it. If you haven't seen it or you know, any of these or all of these, I mean, just Google Icelandic soccer celebration. You won't regret it. I mean, I think they're the best at it.
That's okay, a high bar. We need to talk to someone in the NFL. Who can we call?
Yeah, well, okay, so who has the highest expectation? What team has the highest ceiling for celebrations? Obviously the Steelers probably have my favorite one this year with the hide and seek. How do you top that? Where do you see this going? I mean, are we gonna get like any bowling this year, do you think? That's sort of a popular one. We did that in high school in soccer. What are some celebrations that you're looking forward to and some teams that maybe have some sneaky good team celebration potential?
Sure. So I think that part of the fun of this is that, like, it's new for these guys. It's for us. So there's going to have to be some trial and error here, which I'm looking forward to because then we get disasters like the one I was talking about earlier with the curling. But I really think that it's anybody's game at this point because it's so new. Anybody can do it. I think the Steelers have a great shot. I mean, AB has my favorite from last year when he twerked. That was, like,
right. And people got upset about that. I thought it was great. I was really impressed. I mean, that dude can shake his booty.
He can. I was so jealous. But yeah, that was amazing and funny. So I didn't get it why people were so upset. But I think that really it's anybody's game at this point. I mean, you've got Marvin Jones on the Lions who's double dutching with his teammates, and that is good and clever. So I think that it really it's just a matter of like who can be the most creative, who's got the chops.
What's been really encouraging is, you know, it seems like a lot of the reason that the NFL was reticent to repeal these archaic rules is they thought that it would be too much gloating, it would be excessive, it would just be like way over the top. But I think what we've seen is like we've already mentioned, like really kind of good-natured, funny, clever. Mm-hmm. Like the guys have to think about it. There's nothing offensive about double dutch. There's nothing offensive about hide and seek or playing baseball or curling. It's almost like the nasty celebrations were a byproduct of them having to repress all of the excitement and the emotion of scoring and like beating the other team at something. And now that they have the freedom to do it, we're seeing a more genuine reflection of how they're actually feeling. And it's been really fun. It's been charming, I think.
I think you're right. I mean, they just really didn't have anywhere else to go with the other rules. So they, you know, were doing finger guns and, you know, doing the throat motion. I mean, because there's just nowhere to go. So this definitely opens up a whole other echelon of touchdown celebrations. And I'm really thrilled to see what else happens.
They need to have a spinoff of the Red Zone channel that's not necessarily the scoring plays, but just all of the celebrations after the scoring.
I would watch that religiously, Pearson. That's like literally all I would have on.
Oh, man. All right. Well, this has been great and a very welcome interruption to what has been a really disheartening and frankly kind of boring NFL season. So, Kelly, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your expertise with me and all the listeners. You can follow her on Twitter at KellyBean1. That's KellyBean1. You can follow me on Twitter at Pearson Fowler. If you want to send us any more celebrations that we missed, anything that we missed throughout the season, or any questions, any feedback you have for us, Kelly, thanks again so much for being with us and sharing your expertise. We'll do this again.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Pearson.